Welcome, my friends. I'm Dave Champion. This is my co-host, Bill Carnes, and together we are totally unprepared. Now, we have an admission. Today, we're
a little prepared.
A wee bit prepared. And we want to talk about this very unusual shooting that took place in Virginia. And the reason that Bill and I want to talk about this particular incident is, first of all, it was highly unusual. Secondly, it was captured on two different cameras. And thirdly, it speaks to a lot of the experience of Bill and I in our professional endeavors over the last 25 years, this sort of thing. And so it's something that we would obviously be gravitated to, and we'd professionally we're in a position to critique it.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
It started, actually, we filmed this show the day before everybody out there gets to see it. So this is just a few hours old for us. It's about 8 hours old.
It'll be roughly old news by the time they see it.
Yeah, by the time you see it. But it's still fresh for us right now. This is where you have a young female reporter who's 24 years old interviewing a lady who is president of the Chamber of Commerce back in Virginia. And then you had the cameraman, a 27-year-old guy. He'd been working for the news station for a while. And then you have a guy who's a shooter, who's a former employee, had worked there for a while, had been let go. He claims because he was a gay black man and he was discriminated against and bullied. The records show at the...
Bullied.
The records show at the station that he had several outbursts, nearly violent outbursts. And in fact, when he was let go, they had to call the local police to escort him and his crap off of their property. So this is what we're getting. He sent a 23-page
manifesto,
if you will.
It's a manifesto.
A suicide note for friends and family. 23 pages, faxed it to ABC a couple of hours after the shooting. They got it, of course, immediately called. You end up having...
Do we know what's in these 23 pages?
I don't know exactly what the hell is in there.
So perhaps it hasn't been released yet.
I don't know if it's been released or not.
Okay.
They did release a couple of different things where he was claiming he was bullied and picked on.
The bullied thing I don't get as far as an adult. If he was a black teen gay guy in high school, perhaps I can understand the bullying remark, right? But as an adult in the workplace?
I mean, it goes to where you can't really trust anybody without some sort of substantial facts behind it.
Yeah.
And that's in any sort of case. We actually, when I was younger, much younger, I worked for my family business. And there was a black man by the name of Tony that worked for us for about 3 or 4 years. He ended up leaving, and he went to go get – he had found another job, went there. They ended up closing up shop or firing him pretty quick, whatever it was. He had to go back for unemployment on the company from us. Now, we had replaced him. We would have brought him back if it had been a reasonable amount of time, but we ended up replacing him after a couple of weeks. Anyhow, he ended up claiming that he had been racially discriminated against and called nigger and all kinds of other things.
At your company?
At our company.
Whoa.
And actually alleged that one of my family members had done it, which was just total BS.
Yeah.
So absolute total BS. He later ran into this family member 3 or 4 years down the road, and he said, you know, hey, I'm sorry I did that, but, you know, it's just I was out of work, I needed some money, and that was my only play. So integrity. Anyhow, you end up, you have the reporter, you have the reportee, you have the cameraman, all concentrating on what they're doing. And the gunman actually filmed this with his own cell phone video, gun in one hand, cell phone video in the other hand, and you'll see just how close he got to these people. They had no idea he was there. If we can play this video. So you can see here he's walking down this decking area. There's the reporter in the orange and black, the lady that she's interviewing from the Chamber of Commerce, the guy wearing the shorts, obviously the cameraman. Here he is.
And notice he's standing right there. Nobody's
gun
even
comes
looking
out, and he's literally 5 inches, 3 inches from the cameraman. 5 or 6 seconds, he's pointing the gun at the reporter. He takes a break.
It looks like he has to straighten things out for a minute.
Yeah.
Before he shoots now.
Maybe he's thinking about it. We just don't know what's going through his mind.
But he's standing right there.
This is where he decides to act.
No one's even aware. No one even glances.
And Dave, there we go. We have some 13 or 14 rounds fired off of that.
Right, now let me preempt a comment that I saw a lot on social media today. This just speaks to the fact that a lot of people who have no experience with firearms or shootings, most specifically shootings, comment that I saw a lot today was, this is contrived, this is a false flag thing, we know this, because even though he fired at the female reporter point blank, she ran away. Okay. For those of you who don't have any experience in this sort of genre, perhaps not be so quick to say things that make you sound very, very stupid to people who've been there, done that.
Yeah, it's not Hollywood, guys.
No.
It's not bang your dead. It's bang your shot.
When you get shot with a handgun, and I differentiate that intentionally from a long gun because the external ballistics of a handgun are dramatically different than the external ballistics of a long gun, you get hit with a handgun round a couple of times. It is not uncommon for the person who's been hit to run away. Now, they're not going to get far, depending on where they were shot. But unless the round impacts the brain, one of the rounds impacts the brain, or pierces the heart, adrenaline is a very, very powerful chemical. And most people, they have the fight or flight. That's a natural instinct. Doctors, psychiatrists, we've long understood the fight or flight instinct. Some people will fight. Some people will fight if they have the tools. If not, they'll engage. They'll fly, as we saw here. And that adrenaline. It doesn't matter how many handgun rounds are in you at the time. To sprint. There was a case a woman was talking about recently. Her brother was shot 5 times and ran down the street to the neighbor's house, where he then collapsed and the neighbors called the police. It's not uncommon, guys.
It comes to an account of blood volume, how much volume is in your system.
Right.
And if you have your adrenaline, everything constricts, your blood loss is lessened quite a bit, as long as that adrenaline is going. You know, we see reports a couple of times a year about a delivery guy, a pizza delivery guy, or somebody that ends up being, somebody tries to rob them, there's a scuffle, a shot goes off, they find out later, hey, they got a hole in their leg 20
right.
minutes later, they just don't know.
Right.
So this is exactly the way shootings go. It's not Hollywood. You don't see blood.
What do we teach in tactics class? After you know that your adversary is down and your basic area is secure,
yeah, check yourself.
Check yourself because you can be unaware that you've been shot or otherwise injured.
So. Yeah, I took a round to the leg one time, and I got to tell you, my first reaction was I was pissed off.
Right.
I was mad.
I'm the same way. Yeah. That.
Yeah. So anyhow, this video shows a few different things. One, it shows, you know, David, it showed that those three people had no idea what was going on. They were so blinded to what was, they're in this beautiful area.
Yeah.
If you look at the video that the cameraman was filming, it's a beautiful area. It looks like a resort area. They're talking about an upcoming weekend event. And they're so just in tune, and nobody's looking around. This guy walks up. You had to have heard it. I mean, there's some sort of sense that you had to have. And he's literally this far from the cameraman with his gun. You know, there it is, pointed. 5-6 seconds later, he's done.
Full-size male walking on a wooden deck. You know he made some noise.
Plus, he used to work at that station, so they recognize this guy if they'd seen him.
But they're so focused on what they're doing. And this, by the way, in the world of tactics and firearm, this is what we call being in condition white.
Condition white. Or condition brown, because your head's up your back door.
Yes. And you see what the outcome. Had they been more alert? Now, I give the cameraman a little bit of room on this. Because the cameraman's job was to have his focus.
Yeah, he did
here.
Not. If he had his camera on a tripod,
yes.
He would have been able to look around, as a lot of cameramen do, because they don't want people running in and bombing the picture, especially on live TV. Mm-hmm. But he had it shoulder mounted. I don't know why he had it shoulder mounted. It's, you know, whatever it is. Maybe they don't want a tripod. He didn't want to bring it out. The truck's too far. It's heavy. Who knows?
It was going to be a quick interview. Why bring out all the
absolutely.
Gear?
Absolutely.
Now, the other thing is. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I do know about you. I consider, and this is just my background, your background, I consider every individual that approaches me, and most especially every male individual that approaches me, they're getting the once over. Period.
Sure.
Unless there's somebody like you that I know intimately, and well, not intimately, but you know what I mean.
Why? Better adjectives. Yeah, yeah. Come on.
Short of somebody I know and trust, anyone who comes anywhere within my danger zone, so to speak, is going to get the once over from me, depending on what I see the second or third time over.
This may have failed with them because they knew the guy. Had they done that, I mean, they all used to work together.
Right, but. So. I'm going to guess that they would not have been comfortable with him suddenly popping up, given his
probably
history.
Probably not. Yeah. Like, what are you doing here? So as it stands right now, a few hours later, the recently turned 24-year-old reporter, she's dead. The cameraman is dead. The shooter is dead.
Mm.
And the lady who is being interviewed is out of surgery, having had a round from her back removed. And recovering from that. That's as of the time of the recording of this show. Now, one of the things I noticed right off the bat was it seemed pretty obvious. This is the first time this guy had ever fired a gun. If you see the way he shoots it. You know, first one's out there, he presses the trigger, bam, huge recoil up and to the left. Then the follow-up shots are later when he actually grabs a hold of the thing and shoot. And of course, he's not using his sights. You know, he's down here. Then again, he's so close, he really didn't need to.
Body index.
Yeah, you could certainly see at least the first three rounds had to have hit the reporter. He was so close and just right here.
Yeah.
You had to be really, really out of pocket to have missed any of those shots. And of course, this is a tragedy. You got a young female reporter, just turned 24, was actually engaged to the anchor. And they'd recently moved in together, evidently planning on getting married. You got a 27-year-old cameraman. You had the lady who's doing the interview trying to, you know, say how great her community is. And then this obviously deranged guy who, some of those things that he wrote in there, he was talking about the guys who did the Columbine shooting, talking about the guy that recently got sentenced for the Colorado shooting, the church shooting that happened recently.
So he's identifying.
He's identifying with all of these guys. Said that church shooting is a thing that really took him over the edge, and he was a powder keg waiting to go boom.
I'm waiting to see if they release the information on what drugs they find in his house, like antidepressants.
Let's find out.
And we'll be back. All right, we are back, and now it's time for what is up with people being angry about a situation or claiming victim status in a situation when, in fact, they are the authors of their own predicament? Now, I'm sure you can all think of thousands of applications where that might be true in life, but I want to limit it for the sake of this segment to politics. I want to start out by asking you to consider for yourself, your personal view, what is the single thing that most irks you about politicians and their behavior? The behavior, the thing that most irks you, number one on your list. Now, I'm going to count to three, and when I get to three, I want you to say that out loud, okay? Because I want it to be distilled. The number one thing that bugs you about the behavior of politicians. One, two, three. Liars! All right. I'm sure that there were just about as many differing opinions as there are viewers to this show, because there's a lot of things that irritate Americans about politicians, and rightfully so. However, I want to focus on just one for the purpose of this segment, and that is politicians who, during the campaign, say a bunch of stuff, and then we, the voters, are anywhere from disappointed to extremely angry after the person takes office and does not follow through on the vast majority of the promises they made on the campaign trail. This is as true at the national level as it is at the local level. They make all these promises, and then they get into office, and they don't do the lion's share. I'm going to guesstimate normally they fail to follow through or flat out violate 90% plus of all the promises they made on the campaign trail. I think your experience probably tends to agree with me concerning how the high level of percentage. Now, with that said, right, we always look and we say, that dirty, rotten politician. He said all of these things during the campaign. I voted for him. And now that he's in office, he's doing this much. I think that's a sentiment every single American voter has had. And with that said, I want to say the person who's responsible for that is not the politician. It's you. It's us. It's Americans. And I want to give you an example right out of current events, right off the face of the newspaper, okay, where Americans are doing it again. Now, if we don't want this to happen, then we would obviously eschew the politician who is telling us things that common sense, experience, and a little bit of knowledge and research perhaps would tell us it's not going to happen, it can't happen, it's impossible. Okay? And we would say of that candidate, all right, doesn't matter whether I like or dislike what the candidate's saying, what they're saying they cannot do, so put them out of view. Okay? So, but we don't do that as Americans. What we do is we vote for the person who blows the most sunshine up our asses. Okay? And so here's what we have. We'll imagine for the sake of this illustration, two candidates. One candidate is here just telling us everything we want to hear. And the public is listening and, yeah, that's my boy, yeah. But he can't do any of those things. And there's a guy over here, and he's saying, I appreciate the enthusiasm, but I'm not going to engage in that bombastic conduct because I'm going to limit myself to making commitments to you that I can keep. And the public says, screw this guy. I'm going to vote for the guy who's blown all the sunshine up my ass. And they do it again and again and again. I'm 55 years old as I'm doing this show. If there's an election where the American electorate has not acted that way, I don't know what it would be. Now, before I go further, I want to say what I'm about to talk about is not supporting or criticizing any presidential candidate for the 2016 election cycle. I think they are all abysmal. I think it is a disgrace what's available to the American people. I think it is an indictment of the American political system that the entire package, left, right, middle, everyone you're looking at, is completely unacceptable. Yep. Now, with that said, the person who has garnered the greatest enthusiasm is the person who once again is blowing bullshit up your ass and you're buying it hook, line, and sinker. And that's Donald Trump. Now, again, I'm not taking sides. Trump is no better than Hillary, who's no better than any of these knuckleheads. Mike Huckabee, they're all out of their minds. Okay, so I'm not attacking Trump in the sense of competing for being president. I'm criticizing the American electorate for being enthused over having crap fed to them again. So let's take a look at some of the stuff that he's saying and determine. I get that many people like what he's saying. Trump, he's my boy, yeah, because you have an IQ of 30, okay? Because you can't discern that he's lying to you. He knows he can't do these things. His advisors are telling him, you know, Don, if you were to be elected president, buddy, you know you can't do those things. His own people are telling him this. Okay? It's campaign rhetoric. Now, Donald is a billionaire. So, if you think he's not hiring the resources that are telling him, if you were elected, here's what you can and cannot do in comparison to what you're saying, then you're an idiot, okay? He knows he can't do these things. Let's look at some of the things he's doing. He's saying, we're going to round up all the illegal aliens and send them back to, he always uses Mexico, but of course that's not where all the illegal aliens are from. That lion's share indeed. But he uses Mexico as a catch-all. Now, there are estimates to do, varying estimates as to how many illegal aliens are in this country. Some people say 11 million, some people say it's 34 million. I'm just going to call it 20 million and we'll work with that number. You're going to go round up 20 million people. Really? Do tell. And explain to me, Don, Booby, how you're going to do this. It is an impossible task. Where you're going to get the, at best, tens of thousands of additional new federal employees to do this, and armed with badges, or at worst, the hundreds of thousands of new armed federal agents that you're going to need to do this. Boy, yeah, he's a big Republican believing in smaller government, right? Now, so then the only way to really do this, because most of the lion's share of the illegal immigrants are Hispanic, but we have an incredibly high percentage of our American population that is Hispanic. Do you think the Hispanics that are here legally, that are citizens, that have green cards, et cetera, do you think they're just going to allow this to happen? To have their family members shipped back, rounded up? Hell no. Even now we have sanctuary cities. Wait till you see what happened if Donald Trump tried to launch this fairy tale BS. Okay? Now, in reality, what would happen is the gigantic percentage of Americans that are Hispanic would be hiding their relatives from the government. So now the government would have to come out, would have to pass a law. If you're hiding an illegal alien when these special illegal alien and agents come to take them, that's a federal offense. So now you're not rounding up 20 million people. Now you're rounding up 20 million people to deport them. You think you are, but you're not. Rounding up 20 million people to send them somewhere. And you've got to put another 20 million in federal prison, for which there is no room to put even a hundredth of that. Go after the gangs. Yeah, look, they're gang members, okay, Don? If they commit criminal acts as gang members, they're already put in jail by local police and prosecutors. You can't just snatch them up. Now, you could put together some task force, pull people out of here, there, and the other, put them in, and have a big publicity show for a handful of months. But that's all it is. It's a publicity show. Then you got to disband that group, send them back out to wherever they originally were working. This whole thing is contrived BS. And I don't blame Donald. It's how politics work. The problem is with the electorate, who hears the big turd of lies, and the electorate goes, oh, yeah, give me more of that. Bill, what do you think?
I think there's a silver lining in the cloud.
All right.
Let's say that Trump were to get elected and do all this. He could start with the 15,000 agents that now work for the IRS that are supposed to be criminally enforcing Obama. Take them. He could take the ATF, I think BATF stands for Bureaucrats Against True Freedoms. Take all of them, assign them to this immigration patrol. Let's see, who else could they take? Any of the IRS enforcement agencies, especially those first 15,000. How about the DEA? Oh, yeah. Those guys bring in more drugs and sell to sponsor themselves, then they stop and throw people in. They're the biggest drug importers, the DEA. So take all of them and have them assigned to this task. And then, of course, we'll have a constitutional question. Some judge will say you can't just do that.
There is that.
I mean,
you know. By the way, I want to be clear. I do not believe in open borders. Okay, so if people misconstrue my comments, I'm telling you that Donald Trump, like him or not, vote for him or not, do whatever pleases you. I have no dog in that fight. He's lying to you, though. Just know that. He cannot do any of the things he's saying, nor will it get done if you vote for him and he becomes president.
The bell has been rung on this.
Right.
The bell has been rung on illegals in this country.
Yeah. Lax enforcement has been going on for far too many years so to suddenly say, oh, it ends today and we send everybody home.
I mean, we need to do our best to stop the leakage now.
Yes.
If there are some that come into the hands of enforcement due to illegal acts, criminal activity, whatever, send them back at the time.
Yeah, that whole
But to try to round everybody up like a cattle. You know, it makes me think of the movie Inglourious Basterds. They have the Jew hunter, right? What's Donald going to be? Is he going to be the alien hunter?
Yeah.
The immigrant hunter?
Yeah.
Is that going to be his deal? And
you can leave Bastards in, it's the name of a movie. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Biblical description, in fact. So I agree with you. We need to stop eating whatever's on the spoon that feeds us from the politicians.
Absolutely.
We'll be back. It's come up recently in the news, and I'm about to rant about it now. You know what really grinds my gears? Politicians running for office, talking about various things, of which they don't actually do a bunch of homework to it. Specifically, what I'm talking about right now is the 14th Amendment and the term anchor babies, which has come up so much. The 14th Amendment was passed along with the 13th and the 15th in a series after the Civil War came to an end to end slavery in this country forever. Had to keep amending it and passing various laws to subvert the black codes and other things such as that after the Civil War. Generally focused on the southern states, former Confederate states. There's a provision in the 14th Amendment in section number 1 that says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and the state wherein they reside. That is the way the 14th Amendment starts. Now, the jurisdiction part of that is not a physical jurisdiction within the borders. It was always meant at the time to be of lawful jurisdiction over citizens. Okay? If someone is here in this country visiting from, say, France, a man and a woman, she's pregnant, ends up having a baby, they're within the physical border jurisdiction of the United States. Say they're in Michigan visiting relatives or seeing the sights in midwinter. When that baby comes, it's within the physical jurisdiction, but it's not within the legal jurisdiction because the parents are French citizens, not U.S. citizens. So that child was never meant to be a U.S. citizen or, as we call it, an anchor baby. All right? Now, of course, things have changed, especially there was a Supreme Court decision in 1984 that had a little snippet in it. The politicians have decided anybody that's born within the jurisdiction, the physical border jurisdiction of the United States, is going to be considered a citizen. Now, if we want to end this ridiculous practice that I don't believe any other nation actually has, if we want to end this, we have to look at the very end of the 14th Amendment. I read for you the very first sentence in it. Now I'm going to read for you the very last sentence. Section 5, which states, the Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. So if you want to end this jurisdictional debate when it comes to anchor babies, Congress merely needs to pass a law defining jurisdiction as applied to the 14th Amendment. Anchor babies are done. Now, there's been a lot of issues with this. There's actually several different types of citizens. In fact, Dave Champion, my co-host, brilliant man as I have ever known, taught me about this years ago. And there is a certain type of citizen called a super citizen. You want to know what this is? This is someone who is born in the United States to parents who are foreign diplomats. Let's say, again, we have the French ambassador to the United States and his wife living in the United States. She becomes pregnant, has a child. Let's say, in this case, it's a son. The son enjoys both French and U.S. citizenship. And because his parents are here diplomatically, now becomes a super citizen with diplomatic immunity and cannot be kicked out of the country because with that diplomatic immunity from the French part of their citizenship, they're an American citizen that cannot be kicked out of their own country. As long as the parents, one of the parents, is a diplomat and the family enjoys diplomatic immunity, they will continue to be a super citizen, unable to be stopped from committing any crime that they will so choose. And they can't be kicked out. If that child ends up later also becoming a diplomat after reaching the age of 18 or still being under that diplomatic banner, we now have an adult who is protected as a super citizen who cannot either be convicted or tried or even arrested for a crime, nor can they be kicked out for doing it. This is an anchor baby problem, not a big one. There's maybe a small handful of people that fit this definition. But it just goes to show that there are several different types of citizens in the United States. So if you want to go through the debate of anchor babies, how would we have to do it? Oh, we'd have to, somebody said, pass a constitutional amendment. Well, that was done. And it says at the very end, Congress reserves the authority to pass legislation to enforce provisions of the 14th Amendment, which they've done. Dave, they passed a bunch of these anti-black laws back in the South years ago to enforce the 14th Amendment. They're all provisions of that. Mm-hmm. I say all they'd have to do is define jurisdiction as outlined in Section 1 of the 14th Amendment to remove this anchor baby issue that we've got, if they so chose.
Oh, absolutely. The... And a constitutional amendment, or a provision of the Constitution, or a constitutional amendment, is generally, if it has any complexity to it at all, not self-enforcing. There has to be, statutes have to be enacted by Congress that actually lay out what you must do, cannot do, and so forth.
Kind of the cliff notes, if you will, and they need to write a few chapters.
Right, because when you go into court, let's say I'm a U.S. prosecutor and I claim you've committed an offense. I can't drag you into court and point to you and say 14th Amendment. I have to point to you and name a federal statute. Okay, so that's the reason that statutes have to be enacted. And on the heels of the ratification of the 14th Amendment, Congress turned around and wrote statutes that we now know today as 42 U.S.C. Section 1981, 82, 83, 84, 85, and so forth, which is typically referred to as the Civil Rights Statutes. And there's a whole slew of other ones that are tangential to the 14th, but that slew I just mentioned are the main ones that everything else launches from. It's the foundation. By the way, if you want an interesting read, it's very short and interesting. Google 42 U.S.C. 1981 and read Section A. Okay, it makes clear who the 14th Amendment was truly actually speaking to. The jurisdictional question now, yeah, but first of all, let me validate what you said. Yes, if Congress passed a statute saying that in these circumstances the child is a citizen, in these circumstances the child is not a citizen, done. Okay, now it's done pending judicial review, of course.
Sure.
But you're right, the final provision of the 14th Amendment gives Congress, within reasonable boundaries, and those boundaries being established by the original intent of the people who framed and enacted the 14th Amendment, as long as the Congress stays within those boundary markers, the contours are for Congress to decide. So you're absolutely right. The problem I see when you want to talk about jurisdiction, because the original jurisdiction was personam, it was not geographic. Okay. It applied to the recently freed black slaves, and then the United States Supreme Court expanded it to embrace, for instance, the Chinese being virtually forced to work like slaves on the railroads.
Yes, yes.
So that was its original intent. That's who it applies to. And, of course, we've seen over the 100-plus years since then that the United States Supreme Court has, without coming out and saying so, by its conduct, by its action, it's been attempting to lay foundation that, oh, it applies to everybody.
Yes, the 14th Amendment, which there's a real problem with that when we talk about substantive due process versus procedural due process,
yes.
Which the 14th Amendment lays out procedural. So the courts, Congress can change those procedures.
Yep.
Amongst themselves, and then deny us our rights.
I had to chuckle. Antonin Scalia, who was supposed to be one of the originalists on the court, All of the justices know what the original intent of the 14th Amendment was. But if there's anybody who knows, it's Antonin Scalia, because he's one of the originalists on the court, right? And by that, for those of you who aren't familiar with the term, it means they go back and determine the original intent, and they stand upon that intent, rather than expanding it to mean whatever they want it to mean today.
Reinterpreting the Constitution, if you will. Yeah.
So Scalia, about 18 months ago, in a case dealing with affirmative action, one of the counsel made a comment that tended to indicate they were leaning back towards the original intent in making their argument. And Scalia said, wait a second, I thought we had decided that the 14th Amendment applied to everybody. Okay? Now, I think he said that sort of as a jab to the other justices.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait a second.
Yeah.
You know, let me call you out on where y'all been what you all been doing on this. Okay? But then what he didn't do was he didn't call them out and say, and it's wrong, and here's, you know.
Right.
Right.
He let it lie.
Right. He let it lie. Then comes Obergefell, okay, the same-sex marriage case, which if you read the decision, it's 14th Amendment due process and equal protection under the law for 14th Amendment. Obergefell is a white guy, right? So Scalia, he dodges the bullet again. Instead of jumping in and saying the federal courts have no jurisdiction over same-sex marriage because it's not a 14th Amendment question, the plaintiff is not a 14th Amendment citizen, he then writes this nonsensical religious-based dissent. You know, and it's like, Antonin, first of all, you know what you wrote is nonsense. And secondly, you were forced to write nonsense because you're not stepping up.
Yeah, you didn't sack up, if you will.
That's right.
To actually throw down with the original intent.
Right.
You know, it's interesting, this whole 14th Amendment, everybody's a 14th Amendment citizen, they believe, and which is untrue, and they try to apply everything to that. In the case of McDonald versus Chicago, the gun case of 2010, the city of Chicago's argument was, well, the Second Amendment was never incorporated through the 14th Amendment, so we don't have to allow people to have their Second Amendment rights. That's if you're a 14th Amendment class citizen. Now, thinking is, well, great, I'm an original class citizen. By everything within my lineage, I'm a original class citizen. I go packing wherever I want in Chicago.
Right, you're the James Madison class of citizen.
There you go.
Yeah. Some of this 14th Amendment stuff, if you have the time and you want to do some interesting reading, go to originalintent.org. We were just talking about original intent a moment ago. Go to originalintent.org, and I'm going to suggest you read three articles there in this order. Constitutions, citizenship, 14th Amendment. Those are three separate articles. So it's Constitution, citizenship, and 14th Amendment. By the time you're done with those three articles, that'll probably take you 30 minutes to blow through them, you will have no doubt about the original intent and still the current intent of the 14th Amendment.
Yeah. So getting back to this whole deal with the rant, if you have some of these generally Republican presidential candidates that want to solve this anchor baby problem, all they have to do is read the 14th Amendment.
Right.
It's four sections plus the last one I read. And suggest Congress pass legislation defining jurisdictions apply to the 14th Amendment. Problem is solved. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Segment four, time where we go over your viewer emails, of which we've had several in the past couple of weeks.
We have.
I was on vacation last week, so we didn't have a show. Aloha back. So here's where you can actually save them. DaveAndBillShow@gmail.com. And then you can also check us out online at totallyunprepared.info. That's where we have all of the shows. They're linked up. You can watch the videos, hear the audio files. There's RSS feeds, whatever you like. All the stuff is compacted there. We do have a YouTube channel. We've got a Facebook page, all that stuff. It's compacted at totallyunprepared.info.
Because we love you.
We do. We're trying to be socially responsible, social media responsible. So, Dave, let's talk a little bit about an Arizona case.
Yes, yes,
about
yes.
Concealed carry. Keep in mind, Arizona is one of the five or six states that has what's called constitutional carry. You don't need to go get a permit to carry concealed. Have the jacket, pay the jacket tax, if you will. You can carry exposed, you can carry concealed, whatever you want. It's cool because it's your constitutional right.
Yep. So here's how this case unfolds. There's a guy talking to a gal standing on the street corner in an area that the state of Arizona says is a high-crime narcotics area. So two patrol officers wander up to these to this guy and this gal standing on the street corner and begin a consensual contact. You and I have discussed that with the audience before, the difference between consensual contact and a detainment that requires reasonable suspicion.
No reason to believe there's a crime going on. No. They're just talking.
Nor could the two officers articulate in testimony later, could they articulate any reasonable suspicion. Okay. So they have this consensual contact. During the consensual contact, an officer notices that there seems to be a bulge under the guy's shirt. Okay. So he asks the guy, are you carrying a gun? The guy says, yeah. And under Arizona law, that would be what?
A
legal.
Yeah, it would be legal. You can ask the question. Right. You don't have to be able to act on it, but right. You can ask.
But for instance, here in Nevada, if I was an officer and I saw a bulge and I said, are you carrying a gun? And you said, yes, I would now have the prerogative to go further. May I see your concealed carry permit?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a difference. Okay. There, the fact that the guy said yes is meaningless. It doesn't create any ability for the officers to take that anywhere. Okay. It's sort of like a question they ask instinctively because of the old paradigm before it was constitutional carry.
Yes.
Okay. So they said, all right, go ahead and put your hands behind your head, interlace your fingers. We're going to search you. Okay. They search the guy. They take out the gun. They then run the guy. No reasonable suspicion whatsoever.
Now, keep in mind that search was now illegal unless it was consensual.
Right.
Running him was not within the bounds of the law either.
Correct. No reasonable suspicion. You cannot run the guy. So this it turns out when they did run the guy, he is a convicted felon. He did his time, but you know how that works.
Okay. Yes.
So they arrest him for being a felon in possession of a firearm. They go to trial. His attorney makes the argument that the search was unconstitutional, as was running him and so forth. The trial court convicts. The trial court doesn't buy that. Okay, he gets convicted. They appeal. Yeah,
forget about the constitutional way the laws are put out there or the intent of the laws. What ended up happening, we're going to convict him on.
Correct. He's a felon with a gun.
That's all we need
to know. Those fine points of law, right. Yeah. Forget that. They go to the appellate level. They lose again. Goes to the Arizona Supreme Court. Arizona Supreme Court says, no. Now, the sad part is for this guy, he already did like 18 months. He was sentenced to 18 months and did the time. Okay, this took so long through the appeals to get to, he'd already done his time.
You can't get that time back.
You can't get the time back. And so the Arizona Supreme Court says, no. Because the state of Arizona was pitching this as, because it was a consensual contact, when they told him to place his hands behind his head and interlock his fingers, they were going to search him, that he could have said, this is a consensual contact, man, I'm not doing that. And the Arizona Supreme Court said that. That is not reasonable. There's very few American citizens who would imagine, when given that instruction, that they had the latitude to say, go screw yourself, I'm not going to do that.
And this points out something where there's people out there that basically just say, lay down for the cops, do whatever they say, whenever they want, and you can worry about it in court later.
Yeah.
This guy, it cost him 18 months out of his life.
Right.
18 months out of his life, plus who knows how much in trying to fight and defend all this, plus all this notoriety that he didn't have. The guy's just standing there talking to some chick, hanging out, doing whatever he's doing. Now, I agree. Not a big fan that he was a felon in possession of a firearm. However, I don't know what felony he was convicted of. Was it a violent felony? Was it forgery? Was it a financial crime?
Right. Was he selling weed?
Was it white collar? Yeah. I mean, what was the crime? That makes a difference to
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
I talked about this in one of my segments a couple of months ago about felons and their right to have guns or
yes, you not. Did.
Yeah, we talked about that. So when you end up with the court finally saying, yes, this guy is vindicated, we're dismissing that. Now, this guy is known to every cop in the state now because of this case.
Of course.
So good luck on him ever trying to pull this gag again. Okay, yeah, no, I wasn't convicted, but if you ever see this guy again.
He better conceal better in the future.
Yeah, and now it actually gives the police the authority to pretty much at any time if they see this guy to say, look, you've been arrested before. Now, of course, it was overturned, but you did have a gun. We know that. The facts are you have had a gun in the past. I wonder if this now provides any cop in Arizona that's familiar with this case to be able to do a pat down of this guy to see if he's got a gun or not.
My question. Absolutely not. They'd still have to have reasonable suspicion that he was engaged in a criminal act at that time, not that he was once 5 years ago engaged in a criminal act. That's not enough.
No, I get that. I understand that. Where I'm going, I'm not talking randomly, they see him, they pat him down. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if they come up on him and for any reason they have some sort of a contact with the guy and it's a casual contact.
Not unless it's detainment.
Okay.
Yeah, they've got to have reasonable suspicion.
Enough said, because I got to tell you, one thing I am not a fan of is just handing easy street over to anybody,
right?
Be it cops, politicians, attorneys, or anything. Because, you know, the Constitution and the laws of this country are supposed to be a restraint on the government.
Right.
It's supposed to, they're supposed to work to try to get their results, not hand it over to you. You're guilty until proven innocent. I hate that garbage.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of people, actually, I know this from comments I've seen posted on social media and whatnot. You know, they're like, that Dave Champion guy, he's always sticking up for the criminals and the drug dealers and the gay people who want to marry and all that. Okay, look.
The criminal, drug dealing, pot growing gays.
Married homosexuals.
Married homosexuals. Yeah. Who should be able to defend themselves and their pot plants with their guns.
That's right. You know, and my thing is
Rainbow Bud.
It's like people are like, why are you so down on cops? Well, you've known me a long time. You know the truth. I'm not down on cops. I'm down on bad cops.
Bad cops. Both of us.
And here's the thing that gets me. The cop worshipers seem to be oblivious to the fact that the way you support good law enforcement is to get rid of the shitbags. That's the way you support good law enforcement, so all you have left working on the streets are the good guys.
This is what I have learned. These are two things I've learned in life. Those who are anti-gun, pro-gun control have never been the victims of a violent crime.
Yeah, right.
Those who are absolute cop worshipers and say, lay down, do whatever they say, cops are good people, they're our neighbors and friends, they have never been the victims of a bad cop abusing their authority and violating that person's rights. Yeah. Those of us who are on the other side of the fence have practical life experience and have at one time or another made it through. So that's really, it's a position of ignorance in a lot of places. Now, I agree. I would love to say, hey, you know, cops are good people. They go out there. They do all the right things. The thing is, we're dealing with the human race.
That's it.
Which brings me to another topic I wanted to bring up that is somewhat related. Because we have the human race, and a lot of people just do dirtbag things, be it individuals or groups. A lot of them are copycat scumbags and dirtbags. A friend of ours by the name of Pat Kirby has created a new fictional character by the name of Max Justice. And you can go on Facebook and YouTube and search Max Justice.
Yep.
And this is actually played by his son, whose name is Max. Now, Max Justice is put, now keep in mind, Pat Kirby is a filmmaker. He does TV, film, movies, other sorts of. He does virtually all of the MMA fights that are in Las Vegas.
Yep.
He does a lot of stuff for ESPN. He owns a company.
He's very talented.
Very talented. He's done stuff for you. He's done stuff for me.
Yep.
Excellent guy and very liberty minded.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So he basically grabs these things that are on our attention. We did one where it was supposed to be an ISIS beheading. Max Justice pops up and deals some Max Justice. We just finished filming one a few weeks ago where it was going to be a church shooting that was stopped. So I don't want to give everything away.
So Max Justice, though, is like a superhero.
Essentially, yeah. He's a regular guy that was given a power.
A liberty-minded superhero.
Yes, and that power is being able to create force fields. And what he has done in some cases is create force fields inside of a human body and expand it instantly.
Ah.
And you can see the reaction now. The first episode of Max Justice with the ISIS filming.
I saw that where he did that. That was pretty cool.
That's actually where you just have one cameraman filming it. Now the second episode is actually far more produced because we're using aerial drones. There's all kinds of different motion cameras, fast, standard motion, slow motion. So there's a whole lot more production behind it.
Uh-huh.
So you can actually, you can could see some of the talents behind Pat Kirby and his company Beyond LA Productions. So I would encourage everybody to see Max Justice. And in addition to that, if you happen to see or think of anything where somebody's some kind of a dirt bag or they should be visited by Max Justice, people that do this sort of things, he takes that as input and creates these various scenarios.
I saw the first one. The first one was a riot. It was great.
Good.
I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, and Pat is... he's so liberty-minded, and he's a deep thinker.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You complimented me a little while ago and said that I have some mental horsepower. Pat is the same way, and he's a very deep thinker. And it's not often that I know somebody who says something, and I go, whoa.
Pat does that to me in every conversation we have. When we talk about anything dealing with the Constitution or liberty or founders, he's able to pull various quotes out in context and then explain to you what this particular, what James Madison meant behind this quote. And exactly. And put it in today's era. He is so brilliant with that. And, you know, he once told me that when he was younger, he wanted to be the next James Cameron. And about a year or so ago, he told me, you know, that's what I wanted to do. Now, I'd much rather be Thomas Jefferson.
Before we close, we've just got a few seconds left. Obviously, the heat has been tremendous lately. West Star, the animal rescue. If you have a place in your home and in your heart for some animals, it's 105, 106 out there. This would be a wonderful time to go over to West Star and take one of those animals into your home.
As a matter of fact, we have three dogs. One of them came from West Star. Mm-hmm. She's the best dog my girlfriend or I have ever had. She's wonderful. They've got some great dogs there.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for being here.